Sota, Perek Tes, Mishnah 9:5. The Mishnah continues on after the measuring has been done by the members of the Sanhedrin, says the Mishnah, Niftru Ziknei Yerushalayim B'halchu Lehen. So they have done their job, and therefore they're dismissed to go back to Yerushalayim, those five members of the Sanhedrin. And then Ziknei Osa Ha'ir, and then the elders, meaning the members of the 23-person Bezdin at the closest city to where the corpse was found, Mevin Eglas Bakar, they bring a calf. An egel means a calf in its first year. An egel is a male, an egla is a female calf, and this is an egla, so this would be a female calf. Since the pasuk says not just an egel, but an eglas bakar, so the shita of the chum and the lach is that this is an animal that even is in its second year, as long as it hasn't reached 2 years old, so it's like an even baby or adolescent cow. According to Rabbi Eliezer, by the way, it's specifically in its first year. So they bring this cow, asher lo mashcha ba'ol, that hasn't ever pulled something by means of a yoke. So the pasuk actually said not just that it can't have been hooked up to a yoke, but even lo ubad ba, it can't even be an animal that has been worked at all. So the idea is either if you did any intentional working of it, or if you hooked it up to a yoke without even really intentionally doing work, but if it moved just even one tefach up with a yoke on it, so then it becomes invalidated. So it can't be an animal that has worked. The aim mum posel ba, and although it can't have done work, which makes it kind of seem a little bit like the para aduma that has a similar restriction, but here there's no issue of a mum. Okay, so the para aduma can't have a mum, but that's because the pasuk says asher ein bah mum. The pasuk says it has to be a cow that doesn't have a mum. That doesn't apply over here to the egla rufa, so therefore it could be an animal with a mum. The mums are these blemishes. There is a list of 73 different mumen kavuin, kind of blemishes. They're like, we're not talking about a trefa here, where the animal couldn't live with its defect, but rather something that's more cosmetic, so it has like a wart or a cataract or some kind of like split on the skin and these kind of things. So that would make a korban invalidated as a mum, and also a paraduma, but not egla rufa. So egla rufa, as long as it's not a trefa, could be brought and used, notwithstanding the fact that it's not a perfect animal. It has, in fact, even a mum. Just pointing out here, if you learn the sugya, you see that this egla rufa is like kind of like a quasi-korban. It's not really a korban. It's not being brought on the Yerushalayim, for sure not. But like if you look at the Ramban at the end of the parsha on the Chumash, so he says this is kind of like a almost like a korban that's done outside the Beis HaMikdash, kind of like the Seir Mishtaleach, that scapegoat which is sent to atone for the Jewish people. It's not a korban per se, right? It's sent out and not with blood and offer the Mizbeach. So here too, we're trying to effect some kapara, atonement for the Jewish people and the members of the town that were responsible for this in some way, perhaps, and so on, and for the society as a whole, has a murder in its midst. So we're getting some kind of a kapara, and so it's like a quasi, sort of like a korban. So it's a teeny, it's not much of a chiddush, but it's like teeny chiddush that there's no mum problem, no restrictions of a mum. But you will see, just for example, just to illustrate the point here, any animal that gets that dies is an avela and is a source of tumah. If it's shechted, then it's not a normal ritual slaughter, then it's not considered an avela. It's a shechut and doesn't convey tumah. So the same way the Gemara speaks out that by malika, that happens with the chatas ofra, or the bird, a bird can be a sacrifice as a chatas or an ola, and the way that they are slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash is through something called malika, which essentially is the Kohen inserts his thumbnail through the back of the neck of the bird, very much like, and learned actually the connection to here, where we're killing the eagle, this little calf, on the back of its neck. And the same way that although that's not a ritual slaughter in terms of shechita, the birds, Ola Sa'of and the Chata Sa'of, that have malika done to them in the Beis HaMikdash, are not considered to be nevelos, they're not sources of tumah. So too, the egla rufa, when it gets its arifa, gets like what I call beheaded from behind, although it didn't get a shechita, it still doesn't convey tumah, it's not a nevela. So you see there's like a quasi-korban situation going on over here. Okay? Nevertheless, mum is not a problem. Umoridin osab lenachal esan. Now, to do this procedure. The members of the local Bezdin have to acquire this calf, so they're going to do the buying of it and bringing of it. The money to purchase it actually comes from all the members of the city from which they are coming, since everyone needs to be sort of getting atonement from the whole members of the city, since someone maybe perhaps was remiss in his obligations to provide whatever kind of support that might have helped this victim to not have been killed. And then it's done at a Nachal Eson. Nachal means, so there's a machlokus here. Rashi learns it's an emek, like a valley, and the Radak says it's like a valley through which water has flown. I'm going to translate Nachal as a wadi. A wadi is essentially a river that flows in the wintertime and dries up in the summer and fall. It's dry, there's no water there. So that would conform to the Radak and Rashi. But Rashi understands that this is like a dry riverbed now, like a wadi. You take it down there, that's what the Nachal is. And Eson, which means like harsh and hard, means it has to be like a, there's like sort of hard, like bedrock at the bottom of this riverbed in the wadi. And that's the place to do it. According to the Rambam, the Nachal here refers to not a riverbed, but a river proper. So the water's flowing, and it's Eitan, the water's flowing with strength, okay? Truth is, it could be that a wadi has a river flowing with strength some of the time, and sometimes it's got a little trickle, and sometimes it's dry. Whatever the answer is, according to the Rambam, you wouldn't do it like in the water, but rather beside the water anyways, at the edge of the water, where it's flowing. And according to Rashi, you can do it in the riverbed proper, above those hard stones. The Eson kamashmo kasheh, says the Mishnah. Eson means, like it means elsewhere, something that's hard and harsh, hard. Afal pisha eno eson kasher. Now the truth is, although the pasuk does stipulate it should be a nachal eitan, a hard nachal, but if it's not eitan, it's still kosher b'di evid. This is learned out from the pasuk, because the pasuk actually first it says it should be a nachal eitan. That's for sure true. It says v'horido zikne ha'ir hahi es ha'egla el nachal eson. But then it goes on to say, "Va'arfosham esa egla benachal." It says that the actual arifa, the decapitation, should happen at a nachal, no mention of Eson. And in fact, the word nachal is sort of redundant. We know where it was happening. So therefore, the extra mention of nachal teaches us it has to be a nachal. That's ma'akev. That's essential. But if it happens to be a nachal, it's not Eson. That's not totally hard and harsh for whatever reason. That would still be okay b'di'evid after the fact. Va'orfen osa bekofitz me'achorea. Here the Mishnah says specifically how to do it. It's done with a kofitz, which is like a cleaver, a butcher's cleaver, me'achorea, from the behind, meaning from like behind the neck. The word oref means like the back of the neck. So orfin means turning into a verb, and we hit it from the back of the neck. It's not perfectly clear if it needs to actually be decapitated proper, or if the people doing it actually would sever the simonim there, they keep it alive, the trachea and the esophagus, if that would be sufficient. Okay. Umakoma asur milzroa umilaavod. The place where the calf is beheaded, that decapitation makes the ground beneath it forbidden for further work. Milzroa umilaavod, from zriya is planting seeds, avod does other kind of work. And the truth is, if you just say Mila avod, you couldn't work it, that would include planting. So therefore the Gemara says, yeah, teaching the restrictions are things using the land like you use it for planting, meaning using the land itself for its, like, out of the ground. But therefore it's the ground itself that you can't use. But it says the Mishnah, umutar lisrok sham pishtin, ulinaker sham avanim, doing work atop the ground, not using the ground itself. Like, for example, if you use that place to do combing of flax to get out the fibers, or if you're doing it linakesham avanim, you're sort of dressing stones, like chip, you know, what's the word, like dressing, you're making blocks like for pavement or something, or for construction with a chisel, so that would be permitted because you're not using the ground itself, you're just using the ground as like a work space, and that would be permitted.